This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Friday edition of the Noon Business Hour. As the end of the trading week is just about upon us, I'm Cisco Codill.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We're looking at gray skies, chilly, slowly falling temperature right now. It's 49 degrees.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, a remarkable day. We've had a lot of choppy trade to close out this week, which started with a 600-point dive for the Dow on Monday. The Dow right now is up 33 points, or a tenth of a percent, to 25,896. NASDAQ sliding 26 points, or a third of a percent. S&P off 2. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index lower by 0.75%. Today, we started in the red after China's state media said the country does not expect continued trade talks with the U.S. Then that negative news was largely offset by positive trade developments elsewhere. One day ahead of tomorrow's deadline, President Trump is delaying tariffs on cars imported from Europe and Japan for 180 days. And Bloomberg reports the Trump administration is preparing to lift steel and aluminum tariffs on Canada and Mexico. That could clear the way for the agreement coming after NAFTA. Wall Street did also get two upbeat economic reports. The University of Michigan finds consumer sentiment pushing up to a 15-year high. And the Conference Board's index of leading economic indicators rose last month for a third month in a row. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Lisa. On the Noon Business Hour today, the markets are lower than yesterday as China downplays chances for trade talks. And we're going to offer advice on how to get your get into your favorite college.
Update the markets today, of course, throughout the hour, and we'll talk about Pinterest. It appears to be popping. Also, Entrepreneur Friday, we'll talk with one of the leaders of a company that has been around Chicagoland for four generations and continues to thrive. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Education Week wraps up today on the Noon Business Hour. In our next segment, we'll talk about how to stand out from the crowd when applying for college. Right now, there is an update on U.S.-China trade talks, plus the latest reading of consumer sentiment is out. We're joined by Jim Key, president and chief economist at South Texas Money Management, based in San Antonio. Jim, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. So what's the latest on China and trade? Seems like we're getting little tidbits every day.
Well, the you know, Trump's been kind of ratcheting up the trade tariff rhetoric, and China has, you know, just today stated that he felt that the U.S. was negotiating in bad faith, more or less. So this is an ongoing story. It's best understood in the context of looking back last year. Ratcheting up trade tensions were one of the things that caused the market sell-off. And I think it caused global data to kind of take a pause and start to decelerate in growth, and we saw the sell-off in the markets. This year, it looked like the tensions were starting to converge more towards reconciliation, and up until a few weeks ago, that's what we were seeing, and the markets rebounded really strongly, strongest first quarter in 10 years. And now we've seen the rhetoric, anti-trade rhetoric, particularly started by Trump, back up again, and the markets are back in turmoil again.
Found it interesting that even the Chinese markets are a little wobbly based on this, and wondering if that might put a little more pressure on the Chinese government to try to get a deal done, just as the markets here may pressure our government.
You know, it will, and that's the exact right focus. When you see the Chinese markets selling off like they are, that tells you that trade tensions are the key issue, not necessarily the Middle East or anything else. The problem really is there's a difference between Trump wanting, you know, threatening tariffs in order to bring about freer trade versus a sheer protectionist bent. And the Trump administration has been a little bit inconsistent in its messaging, and I think that's what's starting to wear on markets. You know, is the administration really pushing for free trade and using tariffs as a lever to bring that about? Or is the administration really protectionist and really just wants to keep foreign goods out? So Trump's been a little inconsistent on his statements, and I think that's why markets are a little upset over it, and growingly so.
And at the same time, we're told by latest data today that consumer sentiment in the U.S. has surged to the highest level in 15 years. How do we explain that?
Yeah, Chris. Well, a lot of that has to do with just the labor market in the United States. I mean, the number of job vacancies exceeds the number of people looking, so wages are growing, and I think that creates pretty good sentiment. The other thing is, anytime I hear a strong sentiment number, my first thought is, wow, markets must have been strong a few weeks ago. And that's what we see. Those sentiment numbers really were taken before the current turmoil in China that spiked back up again over the last few weeks. So I think it's lagging in this case.
What else are you watching carefully?
You know, I just watched I like the now casting models from the Atlanta Fed. I like the GDP now numbers. I watch those as the data comes in. And, you know, right now they're pretty low, looking at second quarter GDP at 1.2, but those will change. But I kind of take a step back and look at the broader data. I look at housing starts over, you know, a 3 to 6 month period, consumer spending, and those are all pretty decent. You know, they're not signaling recession. They're not signaling boom either. But the one thing I'm really wanting to see is a pickup in business investment spending. And that's been kind of weak throughout this expansion and slowed a lot beginning last summer with the ramp up of the trade rhetoric. So really, business investment is kind of a key, I think, leading indicator for me.
Interesting that we've had people for quite a while just sort of waiting for this economy to go bust, thinking that the economy and the markets, you know, it can't last forever. But short of something significant, is there a chance that this economy could keep chugging along for a while?
Yeah, you know, I would say absolutely. Recessions and downturns are caused by economic shocks, which are pretty much out of the blue. That's why they last anywhere from 10 months to 10 years. So don't think of it in terms of we're in the seventh or eighth inning. But, you know, Milton Friedman was once asked, what do you think of the U.S. business cycle? And he said, I don't think there is such a thing. You know, and he pointed out to this model of just random shocks. So I think as long as we don't have a huge shock, and this trade war could turn into one, then I think things can continue to go well.
Thanks so much for the insight, Jim Key, President and Chief Economist, South Texas Money Management. Coming up, we wrap up Education Week with help in making sure a college application doesn't get lost in the shuffle.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
And another chance for you to win $1,000 about 4 minutes away. It's finals day for Education Week on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by St. Xavier University. This afternoon, we're wrapping things up by learning how to maximize a college application. Let's get some advice from Deb Donnelly, post-high school counselor at New Trier High School in Winnetka. Deb, one of the things that we hear about quite often is a social media presence. I think especially young people think they put it online, but no one's really paying attention. When it comes to colleges, oh, they're paying attention.
Suddenly.
They are. They are, in fact, and I think that that's something that each of our students should work to clean up or absolutely even just completely dismiss. I have a number of students who no longer participate in social media. Most of our faculty no longer participate in social media. It just is rife with issues, I think.
And in the end, again, a lot of young people think, oh, no one's paying attention. Are colleges genuinely, are they that thorough when they're looking at trying to figure out whether they're going to allow someone into their school or not?
I think the answer is it depends. You know, if your name is in the newspaper for a negative reason, or if something happens at your school, then colleges may look a little bit more closely at that. So I just think in order to be safe, first of all, if you want to participate in social media, keep it clean, keep it something that you'd be happy that your grandparents could see, or again, don't participate at all. But yes, colleges, you know, if there's any reason at all to look and they have the time, they can do so.
Has high school level yet had any problems with trying to buy your way into college?
Certainly we have not. It's nothing that's ever, you know, pervaded our school or any of the schools at our peer institutions. So I'm proud to say that we've not been a part of any of that.
Deb, let's talk about writing for a chance to get into the college of your choice, sitting down to write that college application and also to tell about yourself. What's the most important thing to do?
I think that students need to be free to tell their story. I think that what the essay does is flesh out the students so that the candidate is not just a flat transcript of grades and maybe ACT scores. It allows the student to put the context of his or her life into the application. And in fact, if students are using this beast called the Common Application, the 7 essay prompts will remain the same, and they are up and running right now, so students can access those immediately.
What do you look for, in a student who wants to come in and go someplace else in the world?
You mean someplace else outside of the United States?
Well, someplace outside of where you went to school.
Yeah, so, someone who wants to get into college.
What
do you look for?
Really it's about, what's the academic background of the student is. I have a friend at the University of Chicago Lab School who says, Patty Kovacs, who says that colleges look for 3 things: what you do, what you say, and what others say about you. And this also pertains to your social media question. So we look to the student to tell us, what are your expectations for your future? What are the parameters under which you're operating, whether they're financial or geographical or even academic? And then, how can we help you get there? And then our job, quite frankly, is to irritate and confuse students, to open up their mind to colleges and universities they may never have heard of.
Thanks so much, Deb. Always appreciate you being on the show. Deb Donnelly, post-high school counselor at New Trier High School in Winnetka. Still ahead, Entrepreneur Friday, building a construction materials business from the ground up. And another chance for you to win $1,000. Keyword for cash is next. WBBM News Time 12:25, a check of the markets from Bloomberg. Sponsored by Sears Garage Doors. Here's Elisa Parenti.
We are hugging the flat line here on the last day of a volatile trading week. The Dow is up 48 points or 0.2%. NASDAQ down 0.25% or 20 points, and the S&P up 1. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by 0.5%. We've got crude oil futures reversing course as well today. They were above $63, right now at $62.81. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have mixed prices here today. Corn's been up as much as 5. July right now is up 5 at 384. December up 3 at 399.5. Beans have been down as much as 13. Less corn acres means more bean acres. July beans down 11.25. November's down 11. And July wheat up 3.75. Worries about too wet in the wheat fields to produce good quality grain. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Codo.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are right about the flat line today. We'll see what's stifling the markets.
Entrepreneur Friday, we meet the president of the fourth-generation family-owned construction materials supplier, Ozinga.
We'll also take a look at the current construction scene around the Chicago area.
A mother and daughter accused of killing a pregnant woman on the southwest side make their first a court appearance.
President Trump has decided to hold back on imposing additional tariffs on imported vehicles.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 44 points, S&P down 3, and the NASDAQ down 32.
We have some clouds and rain in Chicagoland. It's going to be this way throughout the day and the weekend as well, though much warmer tomorrow with a high of 81 and 72 the high on Sunday. Right now, 49 O'Hare, 52 Midway, 47 along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, as you heard, the markets are struggling on this final day of the trading week. We are joined by Chuck Lieberman, Chief Investment Officer at Advisors at Capital Management in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Chuck. How would you explain what's happening today?
We've bounced back, actually. I think there was concern about the trade, still fallout from that. The market was weaker this morning, but it's bounced back. It's essentially unchanged, as you noted. So I would say that rather than struggling, it's just not really doing much.
So what do you say to investors?
I think the right thing to do is think longer term. I think you have to be in the equity market. Bonds don't offer much yield, and they do offer a certain amount of risk if interest rates go up. So I find the stock market vastly more attractive than the bond market. But, and here's the critical but, investors have got to think longer term. The stock market obviously is volatile. When it goes down, it can go down sharply, and you've got to ignore that and take that longer-term perspective.
But how difficult is it to ignore it when literally from day to day you see the volatility on Wall Street, and one day it's, oh, we're close to a trade deal. The next day it's, we may not even talk again. literally day to day, you just don't know what's going on.
That's exactly right, Cisco. And for exactly that reason, you've got to screen out the noise. There is a lot of noise. Understand that stocks are really tied to the economy. If the economy is doing well over time, then corporations are going to make more money. And if they make more money, the stocks become worth more. That's the longer-term perspective. And it's too easy to get distracted by the noise on a daily basis. And that's what you've got to screen out.
So if people are ignoring the noise, avoiding the distraction, and they want to put some money in the market, broadly speaking, is this a cheap market, an expensive market? You think the valuation's pretty much about right? What do you think?
I think it's roughly right to cheap. There are tremendous numbers of stocks trading at multiples of under 8, even under 10. So there are lots and lots of cheap stocks to pick from. But those, of course, are not the sexy stocks that everyone talks about. People tend to talk about Amazon and Netflix and Google, and those are the stocks that tend to trade at much higher PE multiples. So you can want to be able to chat with your friends over a beer about some hot stock that you bought, or you can be an investor. Sometimes it's not possible to be both.
And sometimes is a company that has had a great deal of popularity, like Pinterest, which now its stock is falling 15% after earnings reported a bigger loss than expected. And investors obviously didn't expect that either.
Right. Well, I had a hunch you were going to ask me about that one. people jump on board, especially with these so-called unicorns. So unicorns are companies with a market valuation of over $1 billion that are coming public. And they are hot stocks. The valuations tend to be pretty expensive. And so it's pretty easy to disappoint investors. Pinterest is a good company. It will do very well over time. But a lot of these unicorns weren't brought to market until a lot later in their life than used to be the case. Often companies came to market, did their IPOs when they were still in infant form, and therefore could grow. Pinterest is already a significant company. The company's got a market valuation of $20 billion. This is not a small company. And the market's expecting a lot, so it's priced expensively. It's easy to disappoint. I think the company will do fine. It'll grow into its valuation. You just have to be patient. And it's not going to be one of these get-rich-quick type of situations.
Are there metrics that you use, thinking about Pinterest or some of these other technology companies that are sort of newer and untested, are there some metrics? Or what do you do to decide whether or not you're going to get into something like that?
Well, the classic metrics, and there are a bunch of them, first one that most everyone would look at is the price-earnings multiple. But in the case of Pinterest, they're losing money. They're not making money yet, so the price-earnings multiple is infinite. You can look at price-to-sales. You can look at the market cap, make a judgment about how big their business can be, and then you have to assign a profit margin to that business to figure out how much money they can make and then see whether or not the stock is trading at a reasonable valuation. In the case of a lot of these companies, especially Uber and Lyft, which came to market recently, those things are not even profitable and are unlikely to be profitable anytime soon. So it becomes much more conjectural on how much money they can make and when they might be able to make it. So those are much riskier situations.
Chuck Lieberman, always good insight. Thanks for being with us. Chuck is Chief Investment Officer at Advisors Capital Management in New Jersey. Up next, Entrepreneur Friday. You've seen the trucks all around the Chicago area. We'll meet the president of Ozinga.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday here on the Noon Business Hour, and this afternoon the spotlight is on a local family-owned construction materials business. We welcome Marty Ozinga, president of Ozinga in Mokena. First thing I have to ask you, the pronunciation of the last name. It seems like everyone that we talk to, every time someone says it, it's a little bit different. Give us the official pronunciation here.
Well, Ozinga is an okay way to say it. I'm good with that.
Okay, good.
I had that with Crydell all my life, too.
Yeah, try being Cisco Kodo, all right? It's a nightmare in many ways. So family-owned business for, what is it, four generations now? Tell us a little bit about Ozinga.
Yeah, four generations in the Chicagoland area, established in 1928 in Evergreen Park on the southwest side. And I'm in the fourth generation with five of my brothers. There's six brothers and a cousin in our generation, and we have 32 kids between the seven of us. So, yeah, a lot of family.
So talk about the dynamic in a family-owned business that's been around so long with so many members kind of involved. Is it just different people who are gifted differently, working in different areas, or how does that function?
Yeah, just like any business, you try to play to everybody's strengths, and you try to best understand where people fit the best and where they're called to and how they can plug in the best and add the most to the business, and then play to those strengths and make sure that people feel challenged and just satisfied and fulfilled in the job that they're doing.
How does it feel to know that you have helped develop the Chicago skyline?
Well, there's a lot of pride in it. I mean, we love Chicago. Chicago's home. And I think for all of our coworkers, delivering materials to these jobs and looking around and seeing Chicago, there's just a ton of pride in it.
What is the one that you have worked on that you think back now and it's amazing?
Well, I think, I'm a lifelong Chicago sports fan. We've supplied concrete to the Comiskey Park at the time and Soldier Field and Wrigley Field. And, those are the funnest to me to be involved in the sports stadiums and those kind of things. But just a lot of tall buildings around town and then little neighborhood things too as well.
And it must be very competitive in this market.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a tough business. Every day, you just got to get up and do your best. But yeah, it's tough.
Over the years, have there been, whether it's technological changes or otherwise, that I would imagine the business today, the concrete business, is not what it was 20 years ago, 40 years ago, or is it pretty much the same?
No, I think like anything else, the computer age is changing it all the time. So, I mean, our trucks have all the technology of, GPS technology and turn-by-turn directions. And the product itself, the technology is changing. So we can do more architecturally with concrete than you could before. So you'll see a lot of these very, very tall buildings that people learn technology in Chicago that's transferred all over the world, actually.
So is that the sort of thing where you're constantly thinking about the mix, working on it, maybe even coming up with new mixtures?
Yeah, we have a research laboratory where we're constantly working on new ways to make concrete better, more sustainable, and just higher performance concrete. It's part of the job.
Have you done much overseas, or has this always been Chicago?
Not a lot of overseas work. We've sourced some of our materials overseas. Some of our materials have come from Asia and Europe and all over the place, but not a lot of overseas work, mainly in the United States.
Has it been maybe some pressure? You've been family owned. Is there ever pressure to sort of go outside of the family and bring other people in, or maybe even I know you're more regional, but even going public? I mean, any of those sorts of pressures in a longtime family owned business?
Well, we do compete with big, huge multinational corporations, and sometimes they have different advantages. They're in other countries and whatnot. But we have many, many people who work for us outside of the family. Obviously, there's over 2,000 people working with us, so a lot of wonderful people from all different skills and backgrounds that are working with the family member, alongside the family members. So we're really happy about that kind of thing.
Want to talk a little bit about how construction is going these days in Chicagoland, maybe get a read on building here in the city. We will have more with Marty Ozinga, our entrepreneur, this Friday. Marty is president of Ozinga Concrete. Still to come, again, more on the construction season here in Chicagoland.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
And welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. We're continuing our discussion with Marty Ozinga with a focus on construction in the Chicago area. Marty is president of Ozinga in Mokena. You've seen the truck many times. Marty, Tell us a little bit about the changes that may be coming up in your group.
I mean, there's a lot of work going on. Obviously, you know, it's that time of year in Chicago. The summer's here, but when we look at our business in the Chicago area, it's busier than it was even a year ago. And so it continues to be a lot of bid activity.
Does that indicate, you think, maybe the national climate for building and for that kind of expenditures?
Yeah, it continues to be strong. We hear it from all over the country, actually. It just seems like there's a lot of optimism. It was some concern that it was going to slow down a bit, but there continues to be a lot of strength in the economy.
Are there particular areas that maybe are doing better than others? I don't know if it's private, public, or condos, residential. Where do you see it?
Yeah, in Chicago specifically, there's a lot of still multifamily apartment high-rise buildings. There's a lot of that continues to go on all over the city. And then you still see a lot of the warehouse distribution, you know, related to Amazon and different things like that. So, and then even in the suburbs now, we're seeing more and more residential, single family housing over more so than last year.
Yeah, the multifamily in the city, it's sort of with property values, you kind of, to build a single family home isn't quite as cost effective, especially if you're like a speculative builder. I mean, you need to get more people in there if you're going to make it work.
Yeah, it definitely seems, the apartment buildings seem to definitely be the trend in the last few years. There's not nearly as many condo buildings getting built. So that's what the young people, I think, want. And then, like you said, it's less of a commitment, so it makes sense for the developer.
Is there an optimism that's going to keep going, you think? What are you thinking maybe a year or two out?
Well, we're continuing to hire every week as if this is going to continue for a while. And, so we're optimistic, and that's the way we're going to continue to behave.
All right, Marty, good to have you on the show. Appreciate it. Always love
Thank you for having me.
Having a Friday entrepreneur in person and able to sort of talk about the wider Chicago construction season.
Well, think of
too.
You as we look at the skylines.
Yes. Thank you very much.
And see the red and white trucks as well. Marty Ozinga, president of Ozinga in Mokena. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, the replay podcast will be available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app. Bloomberg checks the markets next. WBBM News Time 12:55, wrapping up the Noon Business Hour with a check of Wall Street. Sponsored by FinishingChicago.com at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, right now a back-and-forth day, has stocks narrowly mixed. The Dow up 39 points, or a little more than a tenth of a percent, to 25,901. NASDAQ sliding 25 points, or a third of a percent. S&P lower by a fraction of a point. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg lower by two-thirds of a percent. For the week, we've got losses, though, of under 1%. Not bad, given Monday's deep dive. Trade developments with China are negative. The country is not expecting continued trade talks with the U.S., according to their state-run media. On the upside, President Trump is delaying tariffs on cars imported from Europe and Japan, at least through the summer. And just a few moments ago, confirmation that a U.S.-Canada agreement will take effect in less than 2 days, with the administration lifting metals tariffs on Canada and Mexico. They've been in place for about a year. Deere's concerns about the trade situation with China have prompted the tractor maker to lower forecasts for sales this year. Stock in Deere down more than 6% today. Caterpillar also under pressure. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.